speaking today with George Villard, who is candidate for Houston City Council in District G. George, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, primarily I'm running for this office because Houston has been a great place of opportunity for generations now, and I want to ensure that moving forward it continues to be that place. I don't mean just 2 or 3 years down the line, but 30, 40 years down, looking into the future. I think that the way we do that is, first of all, make sure it's safe, a place where you can raise a family without fear of being victimized by crime. Second of all, a place where you can get to home, work, and school quickly, easily, and safely. And third, a place where we have quality, engaged, and energetic representation in City Hall. And that's what my campaign is all about, is bringing that energy and that quality of representation.
You've worked and you've worked elsewhere in the globe, and you've lived abroad and worked abroad, as I understand. People like to talk about Houston being, a world-class or international city. How does Houston stack up against some of the other places you've been?
I think that, and I'm happy to say this, that people internationally recognize Houston as a place to do business. A place that dominates the energy sector. It's the energy capital of the world. And though you have people working in London and Singapore and in New York, those people recognize very clearly that Houston is that kind of place.
Now, one of the things that you do is you're on the board of a foundation that offers tuition assistance to kids going to college. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, actually, I started this organization with some friends of mine in college, and the organization was born out of a concern that public school students were not getting the sort of aid they needed to succeed in their first year in school. So we began by offering scholarships to qualified students, and then we expanded the program to include SAT tutoring and application guidance, help with writing essays, help with filling out applications, compiling packets. And I think that those programs especially were exceptionally successful where we employed them.
Now, you talk a bit on your website about the value of public-private partnerships. That's something we've heard a lot of in Houston lately. It's something Mayor White has done a lot of. What is the value of a public-private partnership, and where in, Houston's governance do you see it as being an appropriate thing to do?
I think that, largely people in the community want to be involved. They want to be involved in the success of the city at large, and just because they might not be taxed a certain way, or just because they might not be elected to an office, doesn't mean that they don't want to serve the community. So I think that if you can reach out to those people and provide an opportunity for them to work with the city, the results can be fantastic. I know that the Parks Board has done a great job acquiring land for the Parks Department, which is city-run. I think those sorts of partnerships are really key to especially issues, quality of life issues, and in some instances, public safety issues as well.
Okay. Well, let's you talked a little bit about public safety. What do you see City Council should be doing to enhance public safety?
I think that, I know a lot of the other candidates have mentioned this, mayoral candidates, especially community-oriented policing is very important. I think that one of the most important features of that is the ability of the community to interact easily with the police department. Even if it's having a cell phone number, the officer patrols your beat, and ensuring that there is a beat officer. Beyond that, though, I think that especially now, given the challenging economic climate, it's important that we employ solutions that can be sort of force multipliers. For example, I know Houston now employs a helicopter unit, and that police asset can do the work of many officers on the ground from the air. The vantage point is unbelievable. The things like that we can do that, though they might seem expensive, actually are convenient in terms of budgetary situation because they do the work of so many officers. Things like that we can employ to do to act as force multipliers, I think, are definitely something we need to approach.
Well, since you mentioned the budget, of course, it is, first of all, the case that the budget is now once again in a deficit situation. When it was passed in May, there had been some cuts made, and they're looking to find some more places to save money. Public safety, of course, is a big part of the budget. So, first of all, what is your opinion of the city's budget and the city's current budget situation?
I think that the first thing that strikes me, well, there are two things, but primarily I'm concerned that the budget cuts the mayor has from the departments weren't necessarily prioritized in terms of, like, public safety is extremely important. Maybe we shouldn't be cutting police department spending quite as much as other departments. So I think there needs to be some thought given to how we're going to prioritize budget cuts, because I think they're necessary. Second of all, I think that, you know, the budget's presented on the city website, but I checked, I think, about a week ago, most recently. The 2010 budget, though it's been effective 2 months now, still isn't on the website, the adopted budget. So I don't think that the city's doing a good enough job of presenting the work it's doing to the public in a way that's clear and easy to navigate, and that's something I'd really like to see worked on.
Now, of course, you know, public safety is a huge part of the city's budget, and its, you know, its cost pressures tend not to be from things like equipment, but from things like salaries and pensions. How do you reconcile, you know, a need to pay for the existing staff that we have, police officers and support staff that we have, and a desire that many candidates have to, you know, increase the size of HPD with, you know, the budgetary and revenue pressures that we're under right now?
I know, you know, the common mantra is more officers on the street. Everybody talks about needing more officers on the street, and I think that's true, but like I said, we have to do things that aren't going to put so much pressure on us right now. I think there is a time when we can be holding 12 academy classes a year. That time is not right now. The budget is just, you know, as you said, a little too tight. So it's really about using the resources we have now more effectively. That's taking off, you know, and as we've done, I would continue taking officers off the desks, putting them on the street, and allowing civilians to do those officers' jobs, those desk jobs. And things like that, I think, are really the best way to approach it, given the tightness of the budget.
Yeah, do you believe that the city needs to look beyond just cost-saving solutions and seek ways of increasing revenue? Are we being taxed at an appropriate rate? Or are there other places to look at to possibly, you know, deal with the revenue side of the equation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not in favor of raising taxes, but there are certain areas that I'd like to see changed a little bit. For example, drainage construction is very expensive. And right now, that construction is funded in part through a wastewater fee attached to how much water you use. What my concern is, though, is that the burden of drainage construction isn't being carried by the people it should be carried by. I think that that's one of the ways of designing a new assessment and getting rid of the old one that would allow for a more dedicated funding stream and that would hopefully save people a bit of money on the private side.
You know, quality of life issues, you mentioned that, and of course it's part of the campaign. One of the things that has recently been done by City Council was an ordinance was passed that restricted signage at some extent on businesses as a means of, you know, improving Houston visually. What is your take on that?
You know, I think that, and I followed the passing of the ordinance to some extent, I think that, you know, those sorts of measures can be important, but I don't know if right now it's a primary concern. I think that the city's facing immense challenges, and I'd really love to see City Council doing all that they can to address those challenges. And, you know, like I said, quality of life is very important, but that particular issue, I don't know if it's outrageously pressing at the moment.
Council also recently passed an ordinance that made some changes to Chapter 42 of the Development Code that governs things like setbacks and sidewalks and so on and so forth. It's really geared towards defining what's urban and what's not urban in the city development. What is your take on the changes that the city made to Chapter 42?
Are these specifically the density-related changes?
That's part of it. I mean, it's really good. It was billed as sort of a transit corridors ordinance.
I mean, as far as I can tell, in terms of the transit-oriented development aspects, from what I saw, it seemed favorable. And I think that, especially in terms of density, it's important that we, as density increases, ensure that we can still provide critical city services in areas. So, that would be my primary concern, is as density increases, making sure that fire trucks can access every home in the city and that kind of thing.
Metro, as you know, has recently broken ground on two more of its light rail lines. There's still two more to come. All of this is scheduled to be completed in 2012, maybe 2013. If you were elected, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. So looking ahead, at what Metro is doing now, what do you want to see them do next? What do you want to see Metro be doing, 5-6 years down the road?
Right. I think that the rail construction now, we have to consider as part of an overall, a larger system. And we have to realize that we need to tie that part of the system in with the rest of the city. So, obviously the bus infrastructure is in place. It needs to be reformed in such a way that allows traffic to flow places where, toward light rail lines, away from them in the neighborhoods, that kind of thing. Also, I'd really like to see Metro exploring the possibility of commuter rail. I think that there's demand for that. A lot of people I talk to love the idea of being able to ride commuter rail in from the suburbs to go to work. I think that, again, having multiple elements of that system tied together is critical. But the most important thing we can do is plan ahead. And plan ahead in a way that allows for different components of our transportation structure to work together well. So, building light rail is great, but doing it at the expense of traffic flow, I think we can take a look at that. And that's really, these different, cars, buses, trains, they all need to work together, not against each other.
One of the things that council will be taking up in the very near future, 2011 most likely, is redistricting of city council lines and also adding in two new council districts. How do you want to see that process go, and how do you want to see it affect District G?
Right. I think that the 2010 census is going to provide us with a lot of information about how the redistricting process should occur, and I'd really like to make sure that neighborhoods, that minority groups, that organic communities are fairly represented and that no one gets cut out of the picture unfairly or divided unfairly. I think that's extremely important, looking at the districting situation. As far as G goes, it's a really complicated picture, and this is something I looked at. I don't know if there really is a great way to redesign G without grabbing some of A, grabbing some of C. I think that it's going to be a complicated venture.
Okay. The current incumbent in District G is Pam Holm. What is your assessment of her term in office, and how do you think you would be like her or not like her as the District G council member?
I think that one of the things that really strikes me about her tenure on City Council is that she came to City Council from the neighborhoods. She was a concerned resident, and I really appreciate that. I also appreciate the fact that she, in a way, was called to service, that she wanted to serve her community, and that was a really important part of her run and her continued success in City Council. I think that as far as what I would bring to the table, I think that the level of energy that I can bring to the job and some of the innovative perspectives that I can bring, I think, would take what she's done to the next level in many ways. And I'm excited about that. possibility.
We're also going to be electing a new mayor this fall. What is your assessment of Bill White's term in office? And, you know, how do you want to see the next mayor be like him or not like him?
Right. You know, I think that Mayor White, he's a strong manager and a strong leader, and he's brought a lot of that corporate methodology to City Hall. I think that a lot of his department directors came in from the corporate world, and they run the departments like businesses, and they do it very well. They're strong managers, and they're confident. And I'd really like to see that continue, that focus on the efficiency of the way the city runs, improving efficiency. I mean, obviously we can get more we can get more efficient, and we can get better, but I think that that business-oriented focus is has been a successful one as employed by Mayor White, and I'd really like to see that continue.
Do you have a preferred candidate in the mayoral election?
I don't. And I get that question a lot. I don't. I've met all the candidates. Let me correct myself. I met Gene Locke, Anise Parker, and Peter Brown. And personally, I like them all. And I think they all bring positives to the table. And I think they're all different in many ways. And I'm excited to see how the race turns out. But at this point, I don't have a preferred candidate.
One of the things Mayor White has talked about recently in his last few months of office is the possibility of Houston revisiting its term limits law. You know, right now, of course, you know, people are limited to 3 2-year terms. What is your opinion of that?
You know, I think that if revising term limits would bring more people into involvement in the races, it would improve voter turnout. You know, like in 05, for example, in my district, voter turnout was very low. There's an incumbent. I would love to see more people engaged. And if revising term limit statute would improve engagement on the part of the community, I'd fully support it.
Okay. When people come to vote in this election in November and they come to the District G race, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
You know, I think that the level of energy I can bring to this job is of vital importance. This, and I spoke with Councilmember Holm about this, this is a 7-day-a-week job. This is not a part-time job. It requires an enormous amount of energy, an enormous amount of focus and hard work, and I think that I can bring that to the table to a greater extent than any of my opponents. And I look forward to the opportunity. I look forward to the hard work and the challenges that the job presents.
Okay. George Flores, thank you for speaking to me today.
Thank you.